Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
And can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Are we international podcasters? Who's that?
Hi. I've noticed that you've had none or maybe little interest from people in the USA.
Well, no, don't start negging us. We've got, I'd say, 0.75% of our listenership are Americans.
Yeah.
Which is a huge number of... Almost tens of people.
Michael will be able to tell us. Michael, can you tell us what percentage of our listeners are American?
Yeah, I'll come back to you in about 2 minutes.
Okay, cool. Here is my three-year-old daughter, Fern, and we live in Seattle.
Ooh!
So, do you know what state Seattle's in, Rob?
Seattle is up north, isn't it?
Yeah, north.
Washington.
No. It's in Washington, it is.
Is it? Yes, get in!
Yes. My husband's from Kent, England, so our kids have weird American accents since we've been together so much during COVID. Thanks for bringing so much needed laughter into my life. I've recommended the podcast to all our friends, even though they may not understand British humour. Thanks.
We've got Michael with the US listener stats.
So I can confirm that 1.6% of our listeners are from the USA.
Is that our biggest market outside of the United Kingdom? Australia, I bet.
Australia is the biggest market outside the USA.
What's that?
That is 2.37%.
Still small, isn't it?
I don't think we can call ourselves an international brand yet.
No. What's our UK percentage?
88.25%.
Oh my God, that's pathetic.
Where's the rest then?
The rest is spread out. Belgium, 0.03%.
No way. Go on to Belgium.
Bedankt to our Belgian listeners.
Big up the Belgium. Bruges. I just shouted Bruges.
You just shouted Bruges.
Where else? We got our Belgian Zeds at. Who else we got?
Italy, 0.09%.
These are all expats.
0.09. That's less than a percent.
UAE, 0.33% of our listeners.
0.33 in Dubai?
You think that would be higher? Because there's loads of Brits over there, but it's small, isn't it?
I love it. I love the way you can't hear anything without analysing it. Who gives a fuck? 0.33%. Yeah, that's weird actually, because there's quite a lot of expats. Maybe, what can I do? What can we do?
Do you think we should get some billboards in Dubai?
Josh is going to start doing like stories about going to white parties with his kids on the beach and like.
Do you know what? That Burj Khalifa's tall, isn't it? Bloody hell. That is one tall old building, that.
I can actually break down the US listenership by state, if you're interested.
No way. Yeah. Where's the biggest?
Wait, let me guess. California, eh?
New York.
Yeah, California is the biggest, followed by New York. The smallest percentage, with a total of 231 downloads.
Hawaii.
So that means mathematically one person could have listened to all of the episodes one and a bit times.
Right, so we've got one listener in this place.
Well, we might have a couple of listeners, but if there's two listeners, they both haven't finished the entire back catalogue.
So this is the smallest stat we've got, essentially.
Yeah, it's 0.03% in Wyoming.
Wyoming?
Which is actually not that surprising. It's the least densely populated state in the US.
Wyoming. If you are that person please get in touch.
Oh, imagine if they've stopped listening.
Michael, you've got to check this time next week Wyoming to see whether it's gone up by two listens, to see whether they've listened to
to see if we've still got the Wyoming listener. If you are from Wyoming and listening, we've got one person in Wyoming. Is this interesting for anyone else? Anyway, if you're from Wyoming, that's quite interesting. Was that interesting? I found it interesting, but then it's about us, isn't it? But
we'd probably be having this conversation even if it wasn't on.
Well, that's
normally quite
with
fun.
Podcast. Go on.
If over the lifespan of this podcast, we try to get an intro of the kids' names from every single one of the 50 American states.
Oh,
look, guys, can I just say something here? Let's not make this mistake of trying to crack America without 1.5%. We've got to remember the British, guys. That's who made us. That's who we're here for. Let's not get caught up in the American dream.
Michael's just pitched a Dave Gorman podcast idea.
Honestly, the Sufjan Stevens of podcasts.
Surely we do every county first. Also, who cares, though?
I couldn't even. Can you name the counties? What a boring thing to ask.
Yeah, I can. Fuck, how many are there? No, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I am.
Do you know
I'm
the only county that's got borders one other county? Just one other county?
Is it something in Wales? Oh, no, Cornwall.
Yeah, boring that, isn't it?
It is boring.
Let's move on.
Right, okay. Boomer story. Here is a boomer parenting story from the mid-1980s. Every Saturday, I was given 75p pocket money, and I had been saving for about 4 weeks for something I'd seen in town. It was a Shaking Stevens holographic key ring, an item of my dreams as a 9-year-old in the 80s. On this Saturday, I asked my mum to drive me to town, and I bought the key ring. I came home clasping it, wrapped in a brown paper bag. When I got home, my dad had randomly bought a new 3-piece suite from a friend. It was brown striped, and the arms were like wooden flat tables. I was so excited, my brother was sat on it, so I sat on the wooden arm. Yep, it cracked and snapped off. Oh. My dad was furious. He demanded my key ring and made me follow him to a garden tree stump. He placed my keyring on the stump.
Oh, my God, no. Oh, no.
And made me stand there as he smashed it to smithereens with a hammer. A sledgehammer. Devastated. That is actually awful.
That's horrible.
Joe Bolton White Dorset. That's not boomer parenting. That is terrible parenting. I feel bad reading that out.
Shall I give you another boomer?
Is it a happy boomer?
Well, I don't know. We'll find out as we go. Hi, Rob and Josh. I want to share one of my boomer parenting stories. I'm in my 50s now, so my childhood was mostly in the 70s, and I can tell you it was a bleak time. Uh-oh. One Saturday, my extended family were going to a hotel for a dinner and cabaret event. Both me and my sister were very excited. This was a big deal. Of course, we put on our best outfits and made a bit of an effort. We drove for about an hour to the venue in our family convoy, only to find out the event was adults only. Much to our dismay, the whole family decided to go anyway. And left me and my sister in the car, in the car park, for 3 hours.
Oh, God, this is bad. This isn't fun anymore. These are just really sad stories.
Halfway through, Dad came out, he brought us two Cokes and a bowl of chips to share, and then went back inside.
Oh, my, that is so
And then she's written, this is just a two-word sentence, no sauce. Remember, this was the 70s. We didn't have iPads, nor did we have any books or anything else with us. So we just sat there in the dark until the adults had finished. We then drove home and went to bed having only had half a bowl of chips for our tea.
That is so hot. I think we need some happy stories here. I got another one here. Here we go. This is a dilemma, Josh. This is hi, Rob and Josh. This came in ages ago, so I don't know. The kid's probably about 15 now, but I'm a huge fan of the podcast and even was lucky enough to attend your live show at Hackney Empire, which did not disappoint. Tickets still on sale for the tour, guys.
On sale for the tour.
In fact, I was sat very close to the 6-week-old baby. Yeah, people did bring babies, which is not advised, but inevitable with this listenership. I have a bit of a dilemma, which I'd love to know your opinion and perhaps the viewer's opinion on. Viewers, listeners, who's no one's watching me, are they? I'm doing this in my garden. My 3-year-old and 1-year-old both attend nursery, which is bloody expensive, but I've recently found out they watch TV whilst they're there. I'm not too happy about this, considering the fee I'm paying. I was offering guilt-free TV on my Fridays with them, but turns out they've been watching it through the week as well. Do you think this is an issue I should raise? Only problem is, it's my 3-year-old daughter that told me, and I don't want her to be painted as a grass. What should I do? I would say, just speak to the nursery and go, oh, hi, my daughter come home and said that you watch telly at school, at nursery. How much are they watching and when are they watching it? I just want to balance it out with my Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays. So overall in the week, they're not watching too much. And in that way, you're not going in with a problem. And if they go, oh, they watch it, you know, for once
six
a week.
6 hours a day.
But also kids do lie, especially 3-year-olds. Yeah. And I do think sometimes, though, if the kids have done like 4 hours of activities, when we was on holiday in Greece, they were doing so much swimming and stuff, they actually needed some sort of time back in the room watching telly for an hour or two just to try and like calm down a little bit. You know what I mean? So I think ask them how much they're watching it and then go from there.
Yeah, so I'm doing 12 hours on a Saturday and 12 on a Sunday, so I need to balance it out.
Yeah, but say that and then they might feel guilty. But yeah, I think just ask.
Yeah.
It'll be fine, won't it? It depends what they're watching, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because my mum and dad came round like, to get, pick the girls up from that super camp thing because I was still working. And the girls were playing. I came in to make a cup of tea. And my mum and dad were both on their iPads playing Candy Crush, whatever it is they play. And in the background was just a Netflix documentary about sexual assault on teenagers. And my kids just on the floor playing. And then I went, wow. Do you reckon we should turn this off? And my dad went, they're only talking about it. I was like, yeah, but my kids can hear. So I turned it off. And then they cracked on Candy Crush. Anyway, thank you very much, Mum and Dad, for coming up to help. You got me out of a hole. And also thank you to my mother-in-law, who's having them on Saturday, whilst I work and poor Lou recovers. Okay, Josh, I think it's time to bring on our guests. We've got the wonderful Julian Dean this week. Very funny man.
He's got five kids.
Five children from the ages of 8 up till 23, I think. Really funny guy. Great podcast as well with Carl Donnelly, TVI. This is Julian Dean. Julian Dean, welcome to the podcast. We're very excited to have you on. You've been on the wanted list for a long time.
Oh, thanks. Nice to be here. Hi, Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe. Thanks for having me.
The wanted list is a very weird way of referring to it.
Well, no, there's two reasons you're on the list. One, you're very, very funny, brilliant stand-up comedian. Everyone should go and watch you or listen to your podcast, TVI, Two Vegan Idiots. And also, you've got a lot of kids, which is always good for this show.
Yeah.
I have got a lot, yeah.
How many are you talking?
Well, some of them are men, so I've got two males. They're two, so I've got two gentlemen, and I've got...
How old?
They are early 20s, 21 and 22, and I have a 17-year-old boy, 16-year-old girl, and an 8-year-old girl, Ren.
Wow.
I only name the youngest for some reason, but...
Yeah. And those others have been in... they've been grouped in 2 year gaps.
I thought you were going to say groomed. So there's a 10-year gap between the two eldest are with my first partner when I was a teenager, and the youngest three are with my... They're both exes, but it's all amicable. In brackets.
Okay, just get that out.
We should really drill down into that, Rob.
Drill away.
Well, there's always, sometimes there are gaps. Everyone, you know, my dad was married before and stuff like that. But some people want to talk about the gap more than others, I've found in my experience on this show.
No, I don't mind. I mean, I've talked about it on our podcast. It's fine. It's all amicable and nice and healthy.
Oh, that's
and
good. How old was you when you had your first one then? You said you was a teenager.
I was 17when she got pregnant. So 18, just 18.
Blimey.
When the first one was born, yeah.
And what was that like as an experience? Was it... Were you confident?
Was it like that?
You know, it was terrifying, actually. But I do think at that age, you do have a little bit less, like, consequences and five-year plan in your head anyway, so you're a bit more in the moment. And you're also a little bit more resilient to, like, a screaming baby, I think, at that age. I do think there's benefits to it and, you know, that do not outweigh the... non-benefits, but there are upsides.
Yeah,
you've got energy, haven't you?
I suppose also, you know, it's that kind of thing where you are right, you're not going, how does this fit in with my life that I've created?
Yeah, I've just finished playing FIFA, you know, like I've got no I don't know what I'm doing anyway, so it kind of, you know, forced me into growing up.
And when you had your first kid, how much of a different parent were you with that kid than with your kid who's now 8, the one who's got a name?
Ren. The eldest is Robbie. Yeah, I was different. That's a really good question.
He's good at this, isn't he, Julian?
You're very good.
I also should say the eldest was Robbie because... Time-wise, Robbie Williams was at his absolute peak at that moment.
I know. I think it was more Robbie out off of Grange Hill, maybe.
EastEnders.
So they haven't all got names that have tracked the most famous...
Well, the second one, Dean Gaffney, is 21. No, right, I'm joking.
the third one, Wellard.
Tucker.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
I was kind of, you know, growing up with my oldest two in a lot of ways. You know, I'd had a lot of practice when Ren came.
Do you find, like, because people say you get more, like, I'm sure Rob would agree, like, for the first and second one, you're more relaxed in terms of your parenting. By, does that continue to increase? So by number five, you super, like, chilled with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That get the that gets more and more and more.
Does it? Does it continue to increase? So if you have 10, you wouldn't even you give do, a fuck.
If you have 10, you don't care whether they live or die. You just take them out in the sun, no sun cream.
So you really did feel that, like, the difference?
Yeah, not less love, but you're more chilled and less uptight as a parent, for me anyway, I guess, yeah, in a lot of ways. You kind of, a lot of it becomes more instinctive, I guess. You haven't got so much to learn academically. Yeah.
But I think maybe ignorance is bliss when you're 18. Like, when your eldest ones got to 18, did it really hit home then, going, oh, my God, that's when I had you, and now you're 18?
It did. It did, because if he went my way, I would have been a granddad at about, well, 36, if that's good maths. But, yeah, I was actually teaching maths during lockdown to my 16-year-old, and I haven't even got a GCSE.
What, in maths?
Not one GCSE.
Not one?
I had
that wouldn't be possible. Just by the law of averages.
I've got a BTEC NVQ level 2 in business and finance.
That's enough, isn't it? That's enough for what you need.
That's all you need, mate. So what I was doing was I had a tutor in the evening for me. And...
No, you and didn't.
I did a maths tutor. He's one of our patrons on our podcast. And so I was doing that with him, like, on video, mainly on Twitter.
He was teaching you maths to teach your kids.
Yeah, but it was. I mean, there's nothing else to do in lockdown. So I really enjoyed it, weirdly. I just got really into it.
Are you tempted to redo your GCSEs? Or should I just say do rather than redo?
Yeah, just do. I am actually, yeah, and I was looking into it, but I think I could get an A in maths now, but there's no point in shattering that illusion if I couldn't, you know, so I might not do them.
Yeah, I think that's the best way, isn't it? Don't test yourself. Just assume you'd be really good at it and then hope for the best. How do you spread your time? Because you don't obviously, there's a couple of them are grown up now, they're men, and you're not living with them. So when do you see them? How do you see them? How do you split your time? Because you want to make sure you're giving them all enough attention, but it's tough, especially when you're a touring comic.
Yeah, well, the youngest is 8, so I take her to school most mornings, unless I'm away working. The other two are teenagers, so it's a lot more chilled with them, I guess. I sort of take Beau to the gym. So, I see them quite often. I mean, mainly Ren would stay over maybe once or a week, I guess, but it's very sporadic and casual and easy.
Yeah,
they're only a mile away, so there's no kind of time set in stone. I've got a door key. It's nice actually,
because sometimes
they don't know that. Can you cut that bit about the door key?
Sometimes door I go key, in then. And I watch them sleep, and then I leave.
Yeah, watch her and her new man sleep. Yeah. With his big old hands.
Some say dorky, some say crowbar, but you know, if you're in, you're in. But that's nice, though, that, you know, because there's other people who, you know, aren't with their partners anymore who they had kids with, where it isn't as amicable and that. So it's nice that you've got that easy, relaxed, like, setup, because it could be horrible if it was like you could only ever see him every 2 weeks on a Saturday afternoon and you're working and stuff like that. Must be awful for people.
Oh, it would kill me, yeah. It's nice because I'm quite needed as well. Like, they need me to take her to school and pick her up a lot of at least one day a week. So I quite like the routine of it anyway, and taking her in, and, yeah, it's nice.
Do you, like, I can't imagine you sort of being sort of dad, because you're always doing silly little jokes and little quips. Do you have to catch yourself? Like, if they're, you know, if they're telling you something quite serious, do you find yourself doing the little jokes and you have to hold back?
I do, yeah. I'm like that at home, yeah. But they can tell me something serious without me going, ha ha.
You know? You just say it in your head and then say something else out loud.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Have you ever taken all of them away on your own?
Only about twice, really, I've taken everyone away.
That must be so expensive.
Me and Rob with our different takes on it. I'm emotionally worried. Rob's financially worried.
Actually, when we went to Turkey, I couldn't take the flight out with them, so I had to get the flight the next day, and it was the best move I've ever done.
I bet.
They were all, there was so many of them, and they were all, it was like Home Alone just rushing around an airport. But they, and I was just like, got the next day a flight out on my own. It was lush. They were late for the plane, and it was just sound like carnage. And I'm just reading a paper the next day at Gatwick. It was nice. With a little espresso with my little pinky out. It was nice.
And how were you when they were little? Was you hands-on?
Yeah, very hands-on, yeah. Ren was breastfed until she was quite old, actually, like gone one. So Lucy was doing a course at the time in, I think, Victoria or somewhere. So I had to drive Ren in the traffic to Victoria on a hot summer's day, get her breastfed and then drive her back. And I had Ren a lot. Yeah, when she was a baby.
It's stressful when they're breastfed, though, isn't it? Because you can't do it. And like, if they're not on a bottle, you're just sort of hanging around near the boob somewhere, in Victoria in your case.
I know, exactly, and taking a buggy. And some of the tube station don't have lifts. I was literally putting my hands under the buggy, carrying a buggy up the stairs. But yeah, you can. What do they call it when you get the milk out of the boob with a suction thing? Mouth? No.
Expressing
the milk. Yeah, we did do a bit of that. Yeah,
you're a vegan. Are any of your kids vegan?
No, they're not. They eat meat a lot, actually.
And did you at any point think I want to bring them up vegan?
No, I just thought I'll let them eat what they want. I like them eating healthy, but I don't, you know...
I'll let their conscience be the guide of whether they're going to kill animals and eat them.
I'll call them murderers. But actually, a week of being a vegan, I ordered a pizza and I said, can I have no meat on it? He said, yeah, of course. And I was in Manchester and I went home and I started eating this pizza and I'd almost finished it and I realised there's cheese all over it.
How did you not realise that after eating it?
It just totally wasn't even in my head. Because I'd asked for no meat on it. I don't know. That was a genuine slip-up.
Yeah.
Eating a whole cheese pizza.
So how do you work Christmas? Now, it's easier now that your kids are older, I imagine. But when they're a bit younger, how do you split your time?
Well, the older boys kind of do their own thing. You know, I just kind of use my Barclays Ping It app to send over money. So the three younger ones, I just go to their nan's house and they just have a big... We've only been split up 3 years, but that's how we've done it for the last three Christmases.
Right, fair enough.
That's nice, though, that you're... To split up, but be on the kind of situation where you're going to the in-laws' house, it's a really nice...
No, I do appreciate it, definitely. I mean, it could be a nightmare situation, as a lot of dads, you know, separated have.
And so how old was your kids when you started doing stand-up then? Like, so what was you doing? Did you have like a sort of normal job and then transitioned when they were little? Because how long have you been doing stand-up? 15 years, is it? 13 years?
I guess since my first gig, about 13, yeah. So, but it took a while to kind of go full-time. I was working in the city in sales for about 5 years when they were babies. Bo and Verity were babies. So it was quite hard working full-time then, you know. You do open mics, don't you? Or mirth control, you're driving to Birmingham and back.
I remember you driving me in your Seat Ibiza somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Like a weird town.
Oh,
I can't remember where it was, but it was a proper shit gig.
My first weekend away was the Stand Flat in Edinburgh when they were babies. And that's when I really, really felt homesick. And I thought, I really missed them. And I was like, oh God, this is the job, is it?
And it
was really brutal. And then on the way back, I had to go to Hull to do a Sunday gig. And it was just so, but I kind of just forced myself to get used to it. And in the end, you know, when the relationship isn't that great, a weekend away is okay.
The divorcee's friend, stand-up comedy.
Exactly.
Yeah. I could go to stand. It's better than the sofa again.
Do you... Exactly. Because your kids were, like, grew up almost in different generations to each other. Could you see, like, the different eras of... Not just, like, I suppose, like, technology and stuff, like, with baby monitors and prams and all that kind of stuff. But also, I suppose you're dealing with... Some kids are growing up during social media, some kids... are growing up before social media. Have you seen that difference?
Yeah, well, Ren's had an iPhone since she was about 3 years old. I remember when Ren was little and, you know, it's quite hard work when they're two and you're tired. And I remember just putting a little nursery rhyme thing on an iPad and she just locked into it. And it was like, oh. But then, you know, it's not a great move, is it? But she does like arts and crafts and... playing and role play, and she likes to play teacher. She there is a good balance with her, but it was a bit, you know, when you stick an iPad in front of a kid and it just solves all your problems for a few hours. It's so easy done.
Yeah, so you didn't have iPads with your older kids then at all?
Not with Robbie and Connor, no. Not iPads. I mean, they had kind of computer or Game Boy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What's it like? You know, a lot of dads are like, when my child's 18, I'm going to take them for their first legal pint and we're going to, you know, they're going to be a grown up and I'm going to have a drink with them and all that kind of stuff. Did you have that kind of moment when your kids turned 18 that it felt, wow, I've got adult children?
Well, I stopped drinking before Verity was even born, so years ago. I couldn't imagine it, having a baby crying and you're hung, because hangovers get worse as you get older.
Yeah.
If I felt like I did now, when I had a hangover before, I'd ring an ambulance. It was so brutal, like the full-blown flu.
Imagine at 6 a.m. with a baby and a hangover. Because also, I'd say when you've got that, the shame is out of this world when you're looking at a child as well, isn't it?
I know, they're pure innocence, like little soft big eyes, just you're God to them and you're just rotten hungover.
Like dry heaving. What's he trying to say to me?
what's God saying?
What's he's purging? What's coming out of his mouth? Oh, that's awful. It's so awful. Like, yeah, I can't do a hangover with kids anymore. I just sort of do a bit of daytime drinking, a couple of beers. I'm sort of getting to that old man, two beers is enough for me.
You're That's just a bloke in a pub of that, an afternoon, Rob. Is that the...
What was that?
Just one of those blokes you see in a pub at 2 p.m.
Yeah, I have me two pints and then go home for shepherd's pie. And I'm happy. I was going to say as well, because like when you've got a younger kid, you go and take them to the toy shop and get them a toy and they're happy as Larry.
Yeah.
But then, and now you've got your older kids, you know, the 20-year-old men in your life, as well as, you know, the other teenagers are getting older now. Like, do you find like you're sort of trying to work out what it is you like to do with them? Where a lot of people go football with their kids, or they go, you know, there's something. Like, I think as your kids get older, you're sort of searching for the thing that you do together with them?
I've been trying to get the two older ones to come to the gym a lot, and we keep arranging, even to go out for a meal or something, we keep trying to arrange it, and then it hasn't happened in months and months and months. But with Bo, who's 17, I was taking him to the gym with me once a week, which was good.
It's mad how different the next generation is. If at 17 you'd said to me, do you want to go to the gym? I'd have gone, what are you talking about? But now it really is a thing, isn't it?
It's a really nice health club I go to. Yeah. So it's kind of got a sauna, steam room. It's got like swimming pool. So I take Ren to the outside swimming pool a lot and she loves it. And I taught her to swim. It's the only one I've ever been able to teach to swim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the others, I'd be like, yeah, just put them in the pool. Just swim. Don't drown. But then I'd watch some YouTube videos with Ren, how to teach somebody to swim. And I was like, oh, I should have done this 20 years ago.
So you managed to do it all yourself?
I haven't taught her the perfect stroke, but...
Yeah.
She's
not drowned.
No, she's very confident. She's not drowned yet. But, yeah, she could do a few lengths.
I do use YouTube a lot to work out how to do stuff, like tying the girl's hair. Like,
I did that, yeah. I still can't plait hair. The other day, a couple of months ago, Ren stayed here, and I needed to plait her hair for school, and she was losing her mind. And so I run around Blackheath Village. There's about 7 hairdressers, and I kept running in there. Can you plait her hair? Can you? And they kept just saying no, they can't. And I swear to God, I will never, ever, ever go into these hairdressers in my life again. I was so resentful. And I went into a barber's, and I'm like, can you plait her hair? No, we don't do that. So I went into Tony and Guy in Blackheath Village, who I'll never even look at when I walk past there. But we were desperate, and in the end, I just put it in a ponytail.
They wouldn't do it for you, like, even as a favour.
I would have paid 60 quid if they would have asked. We were about half an hour late for school, and I hate that. Like, I'm punctual with them, yeah, but it was cracking me up.
Well, you think as well, like, most hairdressers, you think, like, it will take them, what, like, a minute, 2 minutes to
I
do?
I know, like, they dye then... hair, they cut hair, they shape hair, they do millions of extensions on hair, and they plait their own hair just quickly, just plait her hair. They're just sitting there reading magazines, and when I walked in, they all walked out the back.
they must get it a lot.
One of them stood there to face me, and I was like, could you plait her hair quickly? No, we can't do that. You've got to book an appointment. I'll never look in that shop again.
Well, that's the thing. I'm very good at holding a grudge. There's still a chip shop near me I won't go in because they were rude to me about 15 years ago.
Yeah, so am I.
I think it's good to hold grudges.
What did they say?
They said, you're back again for chips.
No, we will not plait your daughter's hair with a chip shop, mate.
Just tie it up with some newspaper, please. Batter it. Just batter the ponytail.
Well, normally we end on the same question, but I feel like it's not quite right for this situation, is it, Rob?
Well, it's normally things that your partner does parenting-wise that annoys you, but I don't know if you really want to go down this road. I'm going to be honest with you, Julian. I don't know if you listen to this. A lot of people do, and it will get back to her.
Okay. All right. She knows this. When she takes Ren to school, Ren is late, and it annoys me.
All right, okay.
How do you make it? Cause we're doing nursery this is the last year of nursery for my daughter before she goes to school. And we're late, but they don't give a shit because it's a nursery. I don't know how I'm going to deal with the strict timings of a school.
Are you sure they don't give a shit?
Well, they seem pretty chilled about it.
Yeah, it's going down in the register, though, and there's going to be an attendance officer knocking at your door soon.
Coming from the man with no GCSEs, but 100% attendance.
Well, I didn't learn maths.
Yeah, the potential A in maths, he's self-given. He's given himself. Josh, yeah, you've got to get... I would have you down as a nervous nurse that would be there before it opened.
I know, but once they give you the bloody...
So what is the official time drop-off then at that nursery?
Between 8 and 9.30.
Bloody, that's a big window.
That's if you want breakfast.
Between 8 and 9.30?
Yeah.
So what time does she normally go in?
9.40.
What the fuck are you doing in the morning?
Just chilling out. She gets up about 7...
She could easily be in by 9.30 if she gets up at 7.
Yeah, I know she could.
I'd have her in by 8, crack on with the day.
How would you... Yeah, I need to speed up my mornings, don't I?
So what are you doing in the morning? Because you're up from 6 with a baby.
No, he does 7 now these days, mate.
Yeah, but he's still 7. That's an hour
to
get...
Easy life.
Yeah, but he's... Well, she gets up at 6:30. She watches a bit of my phone until he wakes up. So that takes us to 7.
But how far's the nursery from your house?
It's a bus ride that takes 25 minutes.
That's too far away.
So you get on a bus.
I do get on the bus, thank you very much.
Is
I didn't
a nice
book in
bus?
The nursery and go, I'm worried about the hottest day in the world in 3 years' time. Like,
how was the bus this morning, all right?
Yeah, brilliant, because no one's out. It was a fucking dream, mate. It got there in about 10 minutes because there was no traffic and no one on the bus. It's like being chauffeur-driven in a huge limo.
Double-decker limo.
I had to take her out of school a week early so they could go to Cyprus.
Yeah.
But the school think that I have her because I'm going away. Lucy asked me to do that, so I rang the school to get approval. They said no. But their holiday was already booked.
Yeah.
So we are going to get fined. I mean, I'm not paying it. It's not my...
How much
what
is the fine?
What kind of fine do you get?
I don't know. I think it's about... It's like I don't know. 60 what do you reckon? Ah, oh, that's all right.
But it's $4,000.
$4,000?
$4,000 and 2 weeks in prison.
In Cyprus, that's the worst thing about it. You have to go into prison in the country you go to.
Thanks, Julie. This has been brilliant. Thank
yeah,
you so much for coming
enjoyed
on.
Enjoyed that. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Is there anything you want to promote?
My podcast with the great Carl Donnelly.
Who's been on here,
is called TVI. Two stands for Two Vegan Idiots. Please subscribe, listen. And
you don't really talk about being vegan. It's just two blokes being funny.
Yeah,
guests.
Exactly. And you two, will you two come on it?
Yeah, I've been on it a few times, but I'll come on again.
I'd happily come on it.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Point.
And what about you, got stand-up? You got any shows coming up? Are you doing a tour? Are you doing solo shows or gigs?
Follow me on Instagram, Julian Dean Comedian. Dean's got an E on the end. Julian Dean Comedian. And I'll post on there my stories and stuff.
Yeah, definitely check out Julian's stand-up. It's so good.
Yeah,
some,
really
some
great.
Amazing one-liners. Oh, but thanks. Yeah, good luck with Julian. And thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Julian Dean there.
Absolutely lovely bloke.
Lovely fella.
I'd love him to be my dad.
He's very zen, very chilled.
Yeah.
He does show you, like, I think it takes about 4 or 5 to work out how to bring up a kid.
Yeah, I know, which is unfortunate for my two because I'm not going any further.
Yeah, he's a really funny bloke, lovely bloke. And yeah, definitely listen, go and watch his stand-up if you can find it online somewhere. He's a great act. Such a funny bloke. Right, see you on Tuesday.
Bye.
If you are not in the queue and you are waiting, then step to the side.
He got in touch. He said, yeah, sorry, mate, you didn't seem like yourself the other day. You've only met me 3 times.
The self-service checkout. I don't care what you're called. I'm not getting tricked into working here.
People at festivals in those stupid jester hats.
But do you know what a snake's penis looks like?
£2.69 for a bottle of water.
Why is your Wi-Fi code 10 characters
long? People who do their shoes up.
I don't care if you're watching. Boot cut jeans.
What's upset you now?
Hello, I'm Paul McCaffrey.
And I'm Sean Wolfe.
And we are the hosts of the hit podcast, What's Upset You Now?
Each episode is only 15 minutes long. That is perfect for your commute.
Absolutely perfect. What, a little 15-minute bus drive to work? Stick an episode of What's Upset You Now on. What's it all about, Sean?
Well, me and Paul and a big-name comedy guest such as Tom Allen or Rob Beckett or Josh Widdicombe will rant about what has got our goat that week for only 15 minutes.
All those little things, like, for example, do you know Gatwick Airport are now charging you £5 to get dropped off at their door?
And now the sun's back out and people are off doing yoga in the park again.
New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. What's Upset You Now with me, Paul McCaffrey.
And me, Sean Walsh.
Hello, I'm Tom Crane.
And I'm Simran Shah, and we're the hosts of the new food and comedy podcast, My Favourite Takeaway, where each week we're invited into the home of a celebrity guest to share their favourite takeaway, exactly as they'd normally have it.
We'll be trying it all, from Peruvian street food slouched on James Acaster's L-shaped sofa,
to an Antiguan feast huddled around Andy Oliver's dinner table,
via an alfresco Indian takeaway sat in Tom Allen's garden. And we also want to hear from you, the listener.
Your takeaway disasters.
Your weird habits.
And your personal takeaway recommendations. You can follow us on Insta, My Favourite Takeaway Podcast.
On Twitter, at Fave Takeaway Pod.
Or you can email us, hello@myfavouritetakeawaypodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe, like and share.
My Favourite Takeaway, the podcast for anyone who loves food but can't always be bothered to cook it.
Available on all podcast platforms now.
Hello, Tom Allen here.
And Susie Ruffle.
We have a podcast called Like-Minded Friends. It's very much a celebration of, I don't know, what would you say, Suze, being queer?
Being queer, but also chit-chat. There's loads of straight people that love it, so I think that you should come along and listen to it.
There's something for everybody. It's been described as white noise for gays, but also we had a lovely section about Glade plugins.
So why don't you listen to it? Search Like-Minded Friends wherever you get your podcasts. That sounded quite professional, didn't it?
Mm.